Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcoming you back. We're taking you up to 6:30. The local football team has built a strong foundation for success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The sponsor of our show will help. That's the law firm, Condori & Murat. They're going to help you update your last will and testament. Set up a revocable trust as well for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Go there. Ask them for an appointment. And you got to tell them we sent you because they'll give you a great discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Remember, our show is on the road again this week. Our Friday field trip is going to come right after Commanders-Eagles Thursday night football, and we're going to be in Maryland again. Silver Spring, we're coming your way. First time in years, Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring at Third Hill Brewing Company. Excited about that live broadcast. It is time for the Blitz, covering the NFL, the Caps, the Commanders. Let's do it. Nate Davis, USA Today Sports, to start us off. Nate, I want to get a national perspective on the Commanders. Did you learn more about Pittsburgh or Washington yesterday?
I think probably Pittsburgh, Grant. I mean their schedule hasn't been great up to this point. You know, obviously we've been trying to figure out if they made the right call or not with the switch to Russell Wilson, and you know their schedule is about to really get serious as they enter the divisional part, which they haven't had any AFC North games yet. So I think I learned more about them, but. Certainly looking forward to Thursday night with the Commanders-Eagles as well.
How is it this bad for the Jets, Nate?
How is it this bad for the Jets? You know, it seems like organizational failing. I certainly think that Woody Johnson kind of having the reflexive firing of Robert Saleh triggered all of this, and it's just kind of been a cascading failure of coaching, locker room stuff. But, I mean, it's mind-boggling that – you know, Aaron Rodgers comes out every week and tells you that they've got this path to the playoffs. They get 10 days off after a great win, and then they play the way they did, really without any life at all yesterday in Arizona. So it's going to be really interesting to see where they go from here, meaning 2025 and beyond, given what they've got to figure out, both really from the top down.
The Lions beat the Texans yesterday. They were down 23-7 in a game where Jared Goff threw five interceptions. And they still won, which is amazing. They're 8-1. They're really, really good. I thought that was a terrible loss for Houston, though. What's going on with the Texans? I just feel like they should be better than they are.
Yeah, I mean, they've clearly got some issues there in the passing game, Grant. Yeah, you know, Nico Collins isn't back yet. Stephon Diggs is gone. You know, I think the Lions really focused on taking Joe Mixon away. I mean, was he 46 yards last night at 25 carries? Like something crazy like that. So they really reduced their offense down to their weakness and were able to claw back in that game. You know, C.J. Stroud turned the ball over as well. I mean, like you said, I think that was the first five-interception game a team had overcome in like 12 years. So Really rare to see a team overcome that. But, you know, when you've got that many tricks in your bag and all the weapons the Lions do, and their defense has really kind of rebounded and come along since losing Aiden Hutchinson, you know, it's really starting to feel like who's going to knock off the Lions in the NFC at this point, because it really seems like they're cruising towards that number one seed and maybe into the Super Bowl.
What should the Colts do at quarterback, Nate?
I mean, I think you have to play Anthony Richardson, Danny. I mean, it is a conundrum that a guy that has so little starting experience going back to high school, and I think it was like 13 combined starts or something between high school and the University of Florida. Like, it's shockingly low. I mean, that you need to play football, but I mean, on the opposite side of the coin, you know, someone that inexperienced also probably needs time to develop. So I don't know what the right answer is there. It seemed like they had a good plan for him last year when he was really making good use of his legs and had kind of limited throws. You know, I haven't seen as much use of the legs this year with Shane Steichen. But they really, but I think they need to make more use of good at right now and try to let the other stuff develop. But I think at some point Anthony Richardson's got to play football if you hope he's going to get any better and be what you draft him to be that high up.
San Francisco, out of their bye week, survives a scare. They miss 3 field goals. They still win. Is this finally when they hit the gas pedal now, do you think, and really start to become the team they are supposed to?
Well, I think they're going to become the team that they are. You know, they're obviously not getting Brandon Ayuk back. We don't know if they're getting Dre Greenlaw back. But I mean, they're still obviously very talented. I mean, they're going to be in a dogfight, probably a 4-way dogfight, at least 3 ways in that division. I'll be curious. Yeah, to me, they ought to make a little more use of Christian McCaffrey in the slot, which they did yesterday. But I would try to get guys like Jordan Mason and Isaac Garrido on the field with him to try to maximize what you've got, you know, in your backfield, which we saw the last couple of weeks, plus McCaffrey. But, I mean, historically, this team is a very good second-half team under Kyle Shanahan. So, yes, I would expect them to hit the gas pedal, you know, win 7 or 8 of their games here in the second half, and we'll see where the chips fall. I mean, they've only missed 1 NFC title game in the last 5 seasons. So they know how to win. They know how to get going.
Nate, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Hit that puck sounder, please. Our pal Tarik Arbashir covers the Capitals. That's why he's going to talk about the Capitals with us right now on the Beltway Blitz. Tarik, catch us up. Busy weekend. They got a touchdown, went for 2, but they lost to the stupid Penguins. Start with the first one first, and then go to the good one.
Yeah, I mean, the Penguins game, they came out flat. They're a much better team than the Penguins are right now. They're 2 teams kind of headed in different directions, but kind of the record books go out the window when those teams play each other because of the rivalry, and you come out flat, you give up 2 goals. Yeah, they did end up tying the game, but I felt like they were chasing that game the whole time. You know, bad loss, maybe their worst of the season. And then they get on a plane and they fly 2 hours west to St. Louis, and they stomp the Blues. I mean, what a performance. 8 goals, 15 different players recorded a point. I mean, just one of the best efforts I've seen from this team in the Spencer Carberry era. You know, Alex Ovechkin gets 2 goals. Connor McMichael gets 2 goals. They now have 2 players in double-digit goals in Ovi and McMichael, only team in the league that has that. They are scoring goals like it's nothing, and it's such a juxtaposition to last year where they had to, you know, it took every bit of their fiber of their being and their effort to score 3 goals, right? And now they're averaging almost 4.5. It's amazing. They're getting good defense. They're getting good goaltending. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but 10-4, they're looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, 3 of the top 4 skaters in the league and points per 60 minutes are Capitals right now. Tells you a
right.
Lot. Tarik El-Bashir and I were alt-casting together on Wednesday and Saturday this week, so it's been good to be kicking it with him on our Monumental Sports alt-casts. How about Wednesday night coming up with the Toronto Maple Leafs in town to take on the Capitals? Should be an entertaining game.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll probably be a high-scoring game. You know, we don't know about the status of Austin Matthews' upper body injury. Not sure if he's going to be back for that game. If he's not, that's, of course, a bonus for the Capitals. Look, the Maple Leafs are still an offensive juggernaut. I believe they've got six players who are in double digits in points. I want to say Spencer Carberry hasn't beaten his former team yet. Neither has Rasmus Sandin. So those are two guys who are going to be uber motivated to get a win against the Leafs. It should be a fun one. And then the Caps go on the road for what, Grant, in my opinion, is going to be their biggest test of the young season. I know they played Vegas at home and Dallas at home and the Rangers at home. Those were tough games, but now they're going on the road right after this Maple Leafs game to play Colorado, Vegas again, and Utah, who is one of the surprises of this young season. I think the next four games are going to give us a pretty good idea of what this Capitals team is. And it looks pretty good right now, but when they get back from Utah, I think we'll know, is this a team that we should start hyping up and getting excited about because they might be able to make a run.
Speaking of looking good right now, Tarik, Alex Ovechkin, physically, when you just see him like sitting down for an interview or something post-game, he looks like one of my neighbors that like is okay at racquetball. You know what I mean? Like, just looks like a regular guy, not this unbelievable juggernaut that's got 10 goals, to your point, that's, you know, scored whatever it is, five of his last six or whatever the totals are.
39! He's 39!
It's not even mind-boggling, it's mind-bottling. My mind is in a bottle. Just do your best to quantify this and explain what we're seeing.
You know, it's funny. I asked Spencer Carberry about that today, and he said he's skating better than he did last year, and because he's skating better, and to my eyes, you know, Ovi will never give me a straight answer when I ask him about weight and things he did over the summer. He just kind of laughs it off, but to my eyes, he looks like he's a little bit thinner. He's a little bit fitter. He's as Carberry said, he is skating and getting to the right areas, and when you're getting to the right areas, it makes scoring a lot easier, right? And it all begins with being able to get there. You know, I think about the goal against the Blues the other night where, you know, Strome gets it over to Protas. Protas one touches it over to Ovi. Ovi has now, you know, skated hard, gotten into a soft spot of the offensive zone, and it's on his stick and it's off his stick. You know, last year he might have bobbled that puck. He might not have even been there because he wasn't skating as well, but he's now skating well, and he gets there and he puts it under the crossbar. Bennington didn't even see it go in and out of the net. And, that's what we're seeing from him right now. I mean, when I went into the season, guys, I was like, yeah, you know what? He'll probably break the record. I think he's going to do it. Let's say Thanksgiving 25, you know, 20 games into next season. Now, if you're a fan, you better start looking at tickets at home and on the road for late February, early March. I mean, Ovi's most likely going to break this Gretzky record this year, and we probably should start preparing for that.
Unreal.
Crazy.
Tarik, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Anytime, guys.
Good catching up. Our next Altcast, by the way, we got eight more days, November 19th.
Nice. It's
the next time we'll have a Caps Altcast. All right, let's talk about the football operation. The Commanders are 7-3 after losing by a point to the Steelers yesterday. Our guy Kevin Sheehan joins us to discuss that very matchup. Kevin, we were just asking, encouraged or discouraged after yesterday's game without Robinson, without two offensive tackles, coming down to a point against Pittsburgh?
More encouraged, guys. Thanks for having me. But not for anything that happened offensively. I thought by far and away it was the best defensive day of the year against a good opponent. You know, Pittsburgh had the ball 13 times, and 9 times they didn't score. That's a far lower, you know, rate than has been happening against the better teams that they faced. I thought they did a decent job stopping the run for the first time all year. You know, Russell Wilson made some plays, and they struggled a little bit on the back end, but I thought that it was encouraging. I think Philadelphia is a tough matchup because you got to sell out to stop the run, and they got a quarterback involved in the run game. But I didn't view this, as I know many did, as like a bad loss. I viewed it as a disappointing loss because it was winnable and it was kind of a wild game and it was intense and it would have been great to get. But I think there was some encouragement to take out of it.
Agreed that there's a lot of encouraging things here, Kevin. Let me make my bad loss case, and then I want your response to it. If this had been, well, you don't have Wiley, and Biotis goes down for part of the game, and that defensive line, TJ Watt and company, just wrecked everything, I'd go, yeah, well, that's what happens, right? I get that. That makes sense. What happened had, to me, had nothing to do with some of the subs. It had nothing to do with the fact that they were on another kicker or anything like that. This was punts being muffed. This was catches in the middle of the field that just weren't caught. This is drops. This is, you know, controllable mistakes. That's why, even though they were playing a good opponent, which, without a doubt, and they're encouraging things, the way they lost it to me is just galling. You know, gut punch type stuff. Give me your thoughts there.
Well, I mean, I think if Pittsburgh had lost it, they could have said the same thing.
Sure.
I mean, there was a blatant hold on the ball that Jaden missed to McCaffrey from the end zone that should have been a safety.
Mm-hmm.
On a field goal, there was a blatant hold. You know, there were some misses that Russell had in the game, although he hit more of the big ones than Jaden did in the game. I don't know. I think, you know, we all watch a lot of NFL games. It's like a lot of games are like this one. You know, a few mistakes here, a few missed opportunities there, and it comes down to a couple of plays, and it's like it's wildly entertaining. And yesterday's game had so much to it, but, you know, to me, a bad loss was when they got blown out by Chicago last year on a Thursday
yes.
night, or the Cleveland game when Grant asked Rivera after the game about, you know, did they know that they could be eliminated? You know, like, those are bad losses. And maybe this is just a semantics thing. Yesterday, you had two good football teams, and they made good plays, and there were mistakes, and it ended up that, you know, they made one more really good play and maybe one less bad play. But I like this spot. I like the trajectory of everything. And for me, because I've been harping on just how bad they've been against the run, I thought that was the most encouraging thing. And if you get Lattimore, you know, back in, you know, at some point, that helps even more.
Kevin Sheehan, the Kevin Sheehan Show. We're in lockstep, I think, on just about everything you're saying, especially, and I'm going to ask this question next, and we're going to take some calls on this. I want to get Danny's thoughts. I said this earlier. I thought the defense not only did enough to win, but was really, really encouraging. I thought there were a lot of good things on that side of the ball yesterday. You needed one more play to be made that they didn't make, but how many times did you ask them to go out on the field and protect a one-possession lead? I mean, that's a bad ask, and frankly, that's not what this team should really be built to do the way things are trending. Just what did you think about the defensive showing?
Again, I mean, it was their best run-stopping effort of the season. I'm not talking about, you know, take the Carolina game and the Cleveland game, two teams that, you know, were essentially, you had the ability to do nothing. And this was a team that was averaging over 6 yards per carry in their last three games coming in. Washington held them to 3.3 yards. Harris himself was over 6 yards per carry coming in the last three games, 2.5 yards per carry. That's a really good job against the run. They gave up a couple of plays. They gave up a couple of outside runs to Warren. They took the ball away twice. The other punter on the other team punted five times. We've had games this year where, you know, we haven't punted and the other team hasn't punted. And I just thought it was a weird game in that it was a high possession game. They had 13 opportunities. We had 12. And we played a lot of, you know, low possession games. And I don't know. I thought the defense overall was encouraging. Here's the thing, Grant. When you sell out like they did to stop the run, and I counted five times in the first three quarters where they had almost nine in the box, you're going to be left vulnerable in man coverage to deep shots. And hopefully Lattimore makes a big difference being able to cover the, you know, other team's number one, although Sanders still, I think, probably was on Pickens more than St. Juice was. But it's still the right poison, I think, to pick, because you don't want to get gashed, you know, by, you know, with, you know, more people in coverage. But it was a tough matchup. Thursday night's going to be a tough matchup. I think more importantly, Thursday night offensively, you've got to make more plays. And yesterday for Jaden, that was, you know, look, we're comparing it to greatness over the last eight games. I think he made a lot of really good plays in the game, but there were some missed opportunities that would have certainly made a difference in the game.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
All right, guys.
Kevin Sheehan, ladies and gentlemen, that's our guy, Kevin Sheehan Show. And that is your Beltway Blitz. I want to dive into the defense next. There's a lot still to do this hour. Jay Gruden's joining us at 5 o'clock in 40 minutes. I'm looking forward to that conversation. I want to talk about Dan Quinn sticking with Alamide Zaccheaus as his punt returner coming up. But what did you guys think of the defensive showing yesterday? How would you grade out the defense? Did you think they were good? I was very happy with how they played for the most part. I'll make that case. We'll see what Danny thinks next on The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, Warren, slashing, Warren! They tried to keep those legs churning to take it into the end zone. They're going to mark him down at the one.
Nope.
But the ball popped free.
Did Jeremy Chinn come out with the football?
Rolling on the field is a fumble recovered by the defense.
See him ripping right there?
First down, Washington.
And the ball comes out as he's going down, and Chinn picks up the football.
Tell him, Charles. That's Charles Davis and Ian Eagle on the call on CBS. What a takeaway that was for the Commanders. They picked off Wilson. They had that takeaway on the goal line. At that time, it's a six-point game, and maybe that wins you a football game. Quan Martin, who's been great, he's one of the few Rivera picks who is ascending into being a really legitimate long-term starter for this team, it feels like, ripping the ball out at the one, and then Chinn, who had the pick, recovering it. What an awesome literal goal line stand by the defense at the goal line at the 1 yard line.
Enormous play. Again, that gave them a chance. That was about to be, I don't say nail in the coffin type stuff, but that was going to be as deflating and, you know, it was going to change the script of the game. That was enormous to be able to come out with a stop there.
So I think the defense played a really, really good football game for a lot of reasons. Here's the argument, though. I'm going to lay out. I want to get Danny's thoughts on this, and then we're going to hit the phones, see what you guys think. How do you feel the defense played? I am getting more and more confident in this defense. I think they played a playoff caliber opponent yesterday and off of a bye, an opponent that had been humming pretty good. Mm-hmm. This offense for the Steelers is not great by any means, but they're not that fun to play right now. Russell Wilson's been surging, and they're a really good running team. They're going to rush the football on you, and we've been told Washington can't stop the run. So you held them to 4.2 yards per play, Danny. That would be dead last in the NFL over a season. So you did a really good job in that regard. 75 plays and 36-11 time of possession. Some of that is your own doing that you can't get off the field occasionally. A lot of that is the offense is three and outs. The offense not sustaining drives. The offense having two of their 11 drives where they had more than 25 yards. So that was an offensive issue, something we haven't had to talk about all year long. But just as much of a defensive problem, the time of possession issue yesterday, I think, was on the offense too. I thought they did do a very good job against the run. Yes, Pittsburgh ran for 140 yards net. But if you just look at the two quarterback or the running backs, rather, that the quarterback would hand the ball or pitch the ball to, in Warren and Harris, they went for right around like 110 on 35 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
You'll take that every time.
Yes, I will. Yep.
That is a collective, I don't know, do that math. That's three and change. That's sub 4 yards per carry, probably. Najee Harris, the bell cow, went 21 attempts for 53 yards. So they stopped the run against a very physical, good rushing team. They held Russell Wilson, by the way, to 50% passing yesterday. They made a lot of those throws down the field hard, where he's trying to drop balls in to covered guys on the sideline. He was 14 of 28. If you look at like rating against or some of the efficiency metrics defensively against the quarterback, it was one of their better games in that regard. Now, they gave up three touchdown passes. One was in tight, obviously, on a third and goal. And then you had the moon ball down the field by Russell Wilson that they didn't defend well. There are a couple of plays they went back. There's no doubt about that. There was another 30-yard play to Pickens.
Yep.
Where he caught
on a second
ball.
And 20.
Yeah. Was that backbreaker. A second and 20?
Yep.
Quan Martin, I think it was, actually, came flying up and just ran into him and missed the tackle. Pickens ran through two tackles and went for 30. Was just like slashing through seven different defenders. That was a bad play. There were a few of those, obviously. They weren't as good on third down as you'd want, 7 of 16. But just by and large, when a team gets the ball as often as Pittsburgh does, because you go three and out three times in your first four drives, and you have a total of 23 minus 4, 19 yards on your first four drives and 12 plays, Danny.
Yep.
That's where they were. Guess what? Your defense is on the field a lot. Punt. They gave up the touchdown. Turnover on downs. Punt. Punt. Gave up the touchdown. Punt. End of half. Then in the second half, they forced two takeaways in the second half. They were on the field four different times protecting a lead at the end of the game, and for the first three times did exactly what you asked. Don't give up a touchdown to Pittsburgh. I just don't know how much more you can ask out of the defense. You could say the Steelers scored 28 points. One of those was on a short field after the giveaway because of Alamide Zaccheaus. So really, it was more like 21 points to Pittsburgh. You'd like one more play in the red zone and make it a 17-er. But I was very happy with what they did defensively for the most part, like at a 90-some percent clip.
Yeah, there are a lot of positives to take out of what the defense did yesterday. Here are the negatives, and it's up to you how you want to grade that, right? So overall, if I have to turn the paper back, I'd probably say it's a B-minus, C-plus if I was in a salty mood that day. I thought they tackled very poorly. One of their worst tackling games since early in the season. Early in the season, when they don't have much preseason time, where they're not on the grass together, and a lot of the veterans just basically didn't do anything, they didn't tackle real well against Tampa Bay. Early in the season, it was kind of an issue. I thought it reared its head this past week a little bit. Maybe Pittsburgh's fresher coming off the bye week, something that you could kind of factor in there. But there were a number of times where the first guy, it's like he's just bouncing right off. I haven't seen yards after contact numbers. I've been looking for them. If anyone's got something reliable, send it my way at Funny Danny. But it just felt to me, whether it was Harris or Warren or the play to Pickens that you mentioned, the first guy, if he's not going to get him down, at least hold him up. And it seems like they were, you know, running through arm tackles, pinballing around, and things that should have been third and eight turned into third and two. And that led to some of those conversions that you're talking about, which would go for the fifth or sixth worst percentage over the course of a season in terms of third downs allowed. Then there's a fourth down that's close that they can get because, again, they got more yards on second down than they probably should have. A couple of times you have them dead to rights and they get out of it where you need to make that play or just be normal, just be safe. You allow long conversions to take place, which is, you know, kind of especially frustrating given that you did good enough work to be in that good spot to begin with. But you were in that good spot to begin with. Dante Fowler has a couple more sacks. You mentioned it, holding Russell Wilson to 50% completion percentage, holding running backs, their top two, to 3.4 yards per carry. I will take that sight unseen. Give me no other information. How did the defense do? 50% completions, 3.4 yards per carry for running backs. Yep, sign me up this week and for the rest of the season.
I would say that combination of things gets you a win at like an 80-some percent clip, too.
Yep.
But just the fact that you allowed 4.2 yards per play and 3.3 yards per attempt. That's the ball game to me.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of goals defensively, you got to find a way to win that game. Now it's up to the offense to do more than they did.
Yeah, this is very Scott Turner, Ron Rivera era type stuff where you're going, offense, please pick us up one time.
Yeah, and yes, I'll just put a period at the end of that sentence. I agree with that. But also, it's not even one time, right? It's any of these drives that you could have done anything,
yep,
would have won the football game. Again, I think it's a bad ask, and it's not fair that you send the defense onto the field in the middle of the third quarter and say, protect us from a six-point lead. And they do, by the way. They go three and out. Pittsburgh punts after getting 5 yards on four plays. Awesome. Now you get another chance to go get points and extend the lead. You don't. You go, hey, defense, bail us out again. And it's a three and out because Russell Wilson throws that million-mile interception, like arm punt thing. And then you go, okay, defense, bail us out again. They go back out onto the field. And this time, the Steelers have a really good drive, and they go 86 yards on 14 plays, but you make the play at the goal line, you get the ball, you steal it away, and you protect your six-point lead for a third straight time. And you give the offense the ball back, and you go, hey, guys, go do something. And then they don't again, and you give the ball back to Pittsburgh again. But this time, you give them the ball back at midfield. And you say, hey, defense, don't give up any points. By the way, they're starting the drive first and 10 at midfield. I think they're at the Washington 47-yard line.
Yep.
3 yards from the mid-stripe. But don't give up a field goal, which means you're 15 yards from that. And certainly don't give up a touchdown. They're only 5 or 6 plays from that. And sure enough, they ended up scoring the touchdown. And then at the end of the game, you said, hey, defense, get us the ball back. And if not for Johnny Newton jumping off sides, which I know is a pretty big caveat, they didn't get the ball back. But they did what they needed to there as well to get the stops and burn the timeouts and do the things. And then obviously Newton jumped off sides. But the Steelers, I mean, I'm just looking at the possession chart right now. I don't remember a game like this. I'm going to take away the downing the ball at the end of the half, which is listed as a possession. They had 13 possessions in this game. 13 times the offense trots out onto the field. And defensively, I think you did a really good job on probably all but 3.5 of those. 3 of those were 70-plus yard touchdown drives. The other one was the short field touchdown. I'm going to say half there. Otherwise, they got 9 minus 5, 2, 14, 12, minus 1, 1, minus 4, 12. They were just way more good than bad defensively, in my opinion. You said your grade would be a C-plus or B-minus?
Yeah, right in there. Probably closer to B-minus.
I'm going to give them a solid B. I'd like to give them a B-plus, if I'm being honest, but the red zone is where I come up and go, this is where games are won and lost. They gave up 4 touchdowns. Somehow, some way, you got to find a way to make that 3. Right? 4 is too many in a game. And that's not fair, again, because of the short fields. One of those is on a 15-yard drive. One of those is on a 46-yard drive. But there was another drive that probably should have been a touchdown where you get to take away at the 1 that was 80-plus yards. That kind of wipes away the 15-yarder in a sense. But looking at the red zone numbers in this game, 3 for 4 for Pittsburgh, goal to go, 2 for 2, I need you to force 1 field goal. So that keeps me from giving you an A-minus or a B-plus. But the takeaways were there. You know, the pressures, the sacks, they were there. How about Dante Fowler, by the way?
Awesome.
Sign that guy now. He looks like everything he said in the preseason about coming and playing for Quinn, being a fit in the defense, being healthy, being able to have a career year.
Okay, now I believe you.
It wasn't lip service.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just a guy saying words in training camp. Let's get to the thoughts of our listeners on the defense next on G&D.
Wilson hooks a pass, looking, end zone! George Pickens climbs the ladder for the touchdown!
Hell of a catch by Pickens, diving backwards across his body in decent enough coverage. Good ball by Russell Wilson to throw him open. Wilson, 3 touchdowns of his 14 completions. 3 went for points in Landover, Maryland yesterday. I don't know how it played on television. I shouldn't say that because I did watch the game back last night. So now I guess I do. But I don't know that it was as obvious in real time as I would have thought. Man, were there a lot of Steelers fans there. And a lot of progress is being made as a fan base and growth this year, people getting excited. The environment's been very, very good. They're doing some neat things at the stadium where they're playing songs and people are singing along in breaks. And there's just a lot of, I think, positive vibes toward it being a much better atmosphere, clearly. My guess is that a lot of Commanders fans either sold their tickets before the team was good or Steelers fans pounced on tickets before the season started. Or both of those things are somewhat,
all of it, yeah.
Somewhat true, and then also Steelers fans are always going to be there because they're the Steelers. But my God, there probably was as many or more Steelers fans than Commanders fans.
It looked and sounded on TV like that was the case, like it was 50-50 or maybe even tilted towards Pittsburgh.
Rick Snyder, who has always kind of guessed at attendance and been kind of my guy to gauge these things, suggested 60% Steelers fans. Now, depending on where you were sitting, if you were in a burgundy and gold-clad area, maybe you feel differently. But I know I have buddies who are season ticket holders on the visiting side of the field, and they were surrounded by black and gold. I think it was at best 50-50, which is not a knock on anybody. I thought it was actually a great atmosphere still. I thought the people that were there were very loud. At times it got super loud when the Steelers had the ball on third down, but there were also times where Washington's got the ball at the end of the game trying to drive, and T.J. Watt is hyping up the crowd going, come on, and you see all the gold towels, the terrible towels being waved, and it really did feel like you were at Heinz Field or whatever the hell they call Stadium.
I will also say that because of the new prevalence of the black Washington, whatever their stupid nickname is, jerseys, it looked worse. Because there were a bunch of those brand new crisp number five Daniels jerseys. So you can't tell, which again is another reason not to have those. It's too late. The cat's out of the bag, or the toothpaste is out of the tube, and those have been purchased. People are going to wear them. But that did not that didn't help the aesthetic.
I posted on Instagram pictures of my kids rocking their game day gear yesterday at Grant H. Paulson. My son's Jaden Daniels jersey is burgundy and gold. My daughter goes with like her little, you know, Commander's cheerleading outfit.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But they were watching the game with my wife yesterday, and my wife texted me during the game and said, Reagan was upset and said, I can't believe we're wearing the black jerseys again, and was like really mad. She's like, no, that's the wrong team. Like, we're this team.
Yeah.
But her take while like turning on the game was like, oh, we're wearing the black jerseys you don't like again, Mom. She was like, no. That's not us. That's the Steelers.
I'm just a guy. It's just me, old Randy Duvier over here. I'd want to avoid that. I'd want to avoid that kind of thing. If it's controllable, if I'm the team, I would just go, let's not have a jersey that people think is the Steelers. Let's start there.
Let's go to Rick in Gaithersburg on GND. What's up, Rick?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just my take on the towels for the weekend, that those maroon towels just failed. I think if they would have given all the Washington fans gold towels also, so it would have just, the whole stadium would have been in gold, and that you would kind of, I mean, kind of like bleached out the Pittsburgh fans, because it looked like there was more Pittsburgh fans than Washington fans. So I stuck with a pretty cool and all gold.
Yeah, I don't think the towel. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to hang up. My apologies. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you. I don't think the towels was the problem in terms of how many Steelers fans were there. I think it's like me saying, like, does this shirt make me look fat? No, your face does. You know what I'm saying?
The weight does. Yeah.
I don't think it was the towels that were doing the heavy lifting there. I think the fans that were there made it that there were more Steelers fans. And if you gave gold or yellow towels or whatever, then the average person watching just thinks that they're all terrible towels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's going, oh, Washington gave out yellow towels, so that must be the towels being worn.
It was hard to find burgundy towels being waved around. I don't know if fans aren't in the habit of doing it or what.
Well, I don't know how many they gave out. I would imagine it was 10,000 or something. But mm-hmm. I know that I talked to a lot of fans who, when they got there weren't towels anymore.
Oh.
So, but I'm sure they were nice towels, I will say, that they gave out. I had one of them, or at least touched one of them yesterday and felt it. And, like, the material was good. I think it was a good idea. It was a good quality thing that they gave mm-hmm. out. I just don't know how many there were.
Gotcha.
But I didn't see them. Like, they weren't being displayed prevalently, I will tell you. When I looked around, it was a lot of gold or yellow towels, essentially. The terrible towels being waved. Let's go to Philip and Laurel on GND. What's up, Philip?
How you doing?
Good, man.
We're talking about the great in the defense, or talking about the Steelers fans?
Whatever you got, man.
Whatever butters your bread.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to grade the defense. I think it's about a C+. And I compare it to the Kansas City Chiefs a few years back when they had a tremendously effective or efficient offense, and their defense was statistically the worst in the league. Their defense always made key plays at key moments of the game. And we did none of that. We just let them go down and score and score and score. We have yet to make a key moment.
You don't think it was a key play when they got a takeaway at the 1 yard line up six? You don't think it was a key play when they picked off Russell Wilson up six? You don't think it was a key play when they forced him to punt twice up six?
The Russell Wilson interception was on a third down. It's the same thing as a punt.
I agree. So it would have been a three and out. Punting from their own goal.
It would have been a three and out punt. That's pretty good. I'll give you the fumble recovery. That's true.
But you don't give me the three and out.
Against the Ravens and against the better teams, they haven't made those plays, which make me say, oh, we got them here.
But they had four straight drives where the Steelers down six didn't take the lead.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe you're right. But I mean, they don't, I don't know. They don't have that itch factor. Maybe when Lattimore comes in, that might change. But they don't have that factor, which makes me say, okay, our defense has it.
I got you.
No, I smell what you're cooking.
I'm pushing back on yesterday, but I don't necessarily disagree with any of your points in the grand scheme of things. Let's go with Tom in Alexandria on the fan. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Just wanted to say, I would grade the defense as a B+. I think they did well with, like you said, the three and outs, and everything in short field position that Steelers had the ball at. But the other thing is, I stopped watching Washington football team several years ago. This was kind of one of the first games that I've watched them coming back. And every time that they showed Jaden Daniels on TV, which was frequently, he was just emotionless on the TV on the sideline. I don't know if he's hurt still or what that was, but to me that was just kind of disappointing.
Appreciate you. I'm not a body language guy, and I like the way Jaden goes about his business because he's so, I'm going to use a Zorn term here, medium.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely is not a like reactionary sideline guy at all. If you're looking for like someone who's real high or real low, and I think this is a good thing, you're not going to get that. I was annoyed last week watching Joe Flacco when the Colts were getting their teeth kicked in. Because every time they showed him, he's always sitting by himself on the bench, just staring straight ahead, hands in his pockets in the big coat or whatever. He just looks emotionless, like, please acknowledge that this is going terribly. Do something.
Do something.
Jaden Daniels, A, is playing at an elite level, and B, it's never going terribly. Yesterday was kind of the worst that it's been since week one, I guess. But he is, I think, to his credit, not fault, he's very much a, you're not going to know.
You're not rattling me, yeah.
Yeah, what's going on in the game based on how he looks. And as a rookie, I think that's actually a really good thing. I guess if you're someone who wants to see emotion, you could be annoyed by that. That's not me, though.
And we also don't know if there's a moment where he's giving a rah-rah to the lineman or giving an attaboy to somebody. Like, you don't see everything. It's not like a 24/7 Spike Lee film about Kobe Bryant where you're just following him around.
Yeah.
Now, I would also say, just he defaults to your point. This is, he could be 20 for 20 for 300 yards or 0 for 20 for 0 yards and 4 picks. And he's the same dude on the sideline. A lot of people would respond well to that.
Right after the Hail Mary, he comes into the room and we're all sitting there getting ready to do the presser. And you would have thought they either won or lost the game. You wouldn't know. But he's like, yeah, we got a big game next week and I'm excited to get back to work. And this was a cool moment for me and the team. But like that is his demeanor. And mm-hmm. I love it. But I think that's a fair observation if your point is just, like, he didn't have a lot of emotion. I just take that differently. I kind of like it. Let's talk to Jay Gruden next. He watched the tape for us. We'll see what he liked, what he didn't like. I still want to talk about the fact that Alamide Zaccheaus is going to return punts against the Eagles after putting two balls on the ground. Maybe we can ask Jay if he would be making a change there next on Grant and Danny.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.